Earl Coombs used to sing that song. That's the first time I ever heard it when I was a member here back in the 80s, and that is a great song. I personally love it because Jesus does save. Amen. All right, let's take our Bibles this morning, and we're in the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. I'll ask you to stand in honor of God's Word, and we're going to read about three verses this morning, maybe four. And we are coming off of the application that Jesus has made concerning the Beatitudes. And so the application of the Beatitudes is that we are salt and that we are light. And that's exactly the type of Christianity that God is looking for. Now Jesus is going to, I think this is interesting, the words that he speaks here in verses 17 through 20. And I've got two different thought patterns on this passage of Scripture. And one I'll preach today, and the next one I'll preach the next time. Basically, the next message will be the message of the text. But what I want to do is look at what Jesus Christ is actually doing. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, we know he is beginning his earthly ministry, correct? He is gathering those disciples that he is now giving them the constitution of Christianity. He is telling them something that is totally different than what the religious world has been speaking. So the message that I would look at today is that really Jesus is declaring a war upon religion. I just put it like this. Jesus declares war in the verses that I read this morning. And I hope that you'll understand what I mean by that. Anytime that you have a war, there is a conflict between two sides. And just recently read a book on the Civil War, and it is amazing how that the Federals and the Confederate armies came against each other and stood toe-to-toe. And there was this conflict of two different armies. And so that's exactly what Jesus is going to begin to preach to us, because Jesus is in charge. He's in the kingdom of God, and he's going against the kingdom of Satan. Now, I'll explain all of that. Just stay with me, because look at verse number 17, and I'll read down through verse number 20. He said this. Now, this is after the Beatitudes, of course, and the application of light and salt. Then he just turns it around and says this. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, why did Jesus say that? Because that's what he's going to be accused of. He's going to be accused of he's trying to change the law, etc. He says in verse 18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of God." Now this is coming off of what he's been preaching all of chapter number 5. He has taught them the humility and the meekness and the thirst and the hunger for righteousness. He has taught them about mercy and how to live and how to convert this into that your life is, people see the salt. It's a preserving agent, a light. It exposes the darkness. And so he's teaching, this is the truth. I'm telling you how to live as a child of God. "But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now those are very four powerful verses coming off the Beatitudes and the application of the Beatitudes. And I submit to you today, based on the Scriptures, that we just read, Jesus is about to declare war on religion. Amen. He is about to say what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the priests are teaching you and how they are living is not Christianity. Amen. That is not the way to live your life. And he's going to expose them, and they are going to be his enemy. And so I just want to preach on this subject for the next ever how many minutes. I don't want to say few minutes, but Jesus declares war. Amen. Father, I thank you for the word that has already been read through the Beatitudes, the messages that have been brought, the clarity of how we as God's people are to live. And I realize that this sermon to disciples with others listening to it is not done as he continues the message. But Jesus attacks what he knows the great criticism of him shall be. And Lord, as we look back, I just want to thank you for what you did for us on the cross of Calvary that we might have salvation, forgiveness of sins, and a home in heaven. And Lord, you made it very clear that if people try to live like the Pharisees, they will die and go to hell. Because the righteousness of the Pharisees was not the way to salvation. And therefore, Jesus makes this declaration that if their righteousness doesn't exceed that of the Pharisees, they shall not enter into the kingdom of God. So I pray, Lord, that we would make sense of what we mean by the declaration of war here. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. You may be seated. Now, again, while Jesus Christ is teaching his disciples, and he's doing this, and again, I don't want to go back and re-preach all of the book of Matthew up until this point, but one of the things that we know is that Jesus Christ is entering into his earthly ministry, and he is choosing disciples. And those disciples, by the time you get to Luke chapter 6, they're going to be what we understand is a New Testament church. A local assembly of baptized believers who are coveted together to carry out God's plan, God's commission. And the Gospels are Jesus Christ giving directions to the disciples, letting them know what everything is about. And of course, that culmination will be that he will go to the cross, he will pay for the sin debt of all mankind, and then he will ascend unto his Father, and he will leave the church to carry out his work. Now, what's exciting is we're still a part of that plan. Amen. All of these years later. Amen. We're still a part of what Jesus Christ taught his disciples. And when he teaches his disciples, he's teaching us. When he prayed for his disciples in John 17, he's praying for us. He even mentions that in John 17. So here he is preaching and teaching the Beatitudes. He's giving the application of how to live out the Beatitudes by, as we've looked at over the last several weeks, being the salt and the light. And again, I say this, what he is doing is he's really declaring war on the normal. He's declaring war on what the people of the Jews of Jerusalem and of the area in Judea and in the promised land, if I could put it like that. He's not changing the Bible. He's fulfilling the Bible. All right? He's not changing the law. He's fulfilling the law. He is not speaking ill against the prophets. He's not come to destroy the law. He's come to fulfill the law. Now, you have to understand, by the time we get to the ministry of Jesus Christ, that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had changed the Word of God in so much that Jesus, on a continual basis, will be rebuking them. You know, like honoring your father and mother. They changed some of that stuff. And what happened is they had more oral traditions than they did commandments. And Jesus made it very clear. you have changed the commandments of God. You have changed the commandments of God and you've made your own way. And we're going back to the Bible. I mean, that's exactly the way that I would put it. And so Jesus, as he tells them, I'm not going to follow your traditions. Now, how many times will we read in the Gospels when something takes place and the Pharisees say, how come your disciples do not follow the tradition of our fathers? Like washing of pots and washing of hands and taking the skin off of your head. Can I make a declaration? I met a couple of guys during COVID who said, I've washed my hands so many times because some bureaucrat who doesn't know 2 + 2 somewhere up in Washington, whatever it might be, said that you had to wash your hands for 45 seconds and you had to do this. Oh, baloney. I'm going to wash my hands for 5 seconds like I always have and be lucky if I get 5 seconds in. And so they're like, well, you're the problem with COVID. Oh, give me a break. Everybody's got COVID. Everybody's got COVID, had COVID, are going to get a COVID again. And so just go ahead and write it down. I'll sign it for you so you can have permission to be off at school tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Wash your hands. And so, I mean, where did that come from? That sounds like Pharisees. Seriously. And so Jesus said, I'm not here to follow your traditions. I'm not here to wash pots. I'm here to tell people how they can be free. Amen. How they can have salvation. Amen. How they can have the good news. How they can live what's he been teaching? The blessed life. Amen. You cannot but live the Beatitudes and not be blessed by God. Because how many times have we been, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when men revile you and say all kinds of things against you. Just go ahead and understand that's what they did to the prophets, that's what they did with me, and God said, I will bless you of it. Amen. Yesterday, me and my wife were out of town, so we had a drive coming back into town, and we just had a little happy fit. Good. Sometimes we do that. And we begin to reminisce about the goodness of God and the grace of God and what God has allowed. And Robin said something like this. Well, didn't Jesus say that if we'll just do what we're supposed... It's pretty bad when my wife preaches better than I do. Doesn't Jesus say that he will give us other family? He will give us houses. He will do all this for us. And then she said, in this life, not only in the life after this, but in this life also. Didn't Jesus say that if you do it my way, I'll bless you? Amen. That's what he said. And I'm just telling you, Jesus said, you don't get blessed by following traditions. You get blessed by doing what I say. And you know what that did? That brought war on religion. And you're going to find out that that's going to be played out whether I was to preach through the book of Mark or we're now preaching through the book of Matthew or that if you were to preach through John, it's going to be played out in the Gospels specifically, number one, against the Pharisees, but also against the Sadducees. But they didn't believe in the resurrection, so they're sad, you see. And we find out as you go through the Gospels, you will find out that these Pharisees were not the way of salvation. And Jesus even talked about, listen, you know what? There were publicans that the society hated, but yet they were willing to listen to what Jesus had to say. And Jesus would even tell parables and stories about Pharisees who are looking at the publican and they're saying things like, well, I thank God I'm not like that publican. I'm so grateful that I fast twice a week and that I give I tithe and I do all of this thing. And let me tell you something, my friend. You can fast and tithe and do everything on the outside, but if there's not been a change inside of your heart, if there's not been a repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can tithe till you die and you'll go to hell. And the Pharisees were more concerned about the outside, but Jesus was concerned about the inside. He was concerned about their eternal destination. and he told his disciples how to be blessed. And then what he does is this. He reveals his standard. Jesus had standards. All right? People don't like the word standards today for some reason. Jesus had standards, and you know what? His standards were higher than those of the Pharisees. In so much that he said that if your righteousness, that accept your righteousness, shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. The standard by which the Pharisee lived will not take people to heaven. In fact, it'll take them to hell. What I mean by that is, as Jesus declares war upon religion, he says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you can't even get to heaven. Now, can you imagine the people that were listening to this message? Now, his disciples are standing before him, but the Bible says that there were also multitudes. Don't make me go back to chapter 4 and verse number 25, where it tells there were people, multitudes from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond Jordan. So there was this multitude of people, but as Jesus sits down to preach or teach to his disciples, there's other people hearing this. And you know what? They're going to go, well, I hope this don't get back to the Pharisees. Jesus said, you go back and let it get to the Pharisees. There'll be a time when they talk about Herod, and he said, you go tell that fox. And Jesus didn't do it with a bad attitude. He did it with a heart of love. And we need to understand, there's probably little doubt that some of those who heard the words of Jesus that I read in our text today might be thinking, well, if the Pharisees can't make it, how am I going to make it? Well, by exceeding the righteousness of the Pharisees. With a new standard, or not a new standard, but a right standard, I should say. So that's the type of thinking that we're looking at this morning, and that's why I believe Jesus said we must go to war on this type of thinking. If I was to use the example of salvation, I would say we have to go to war against the type of thinking where people believe that you have to do works for salvation. We have to go to war against that. That's not what the Word of God says. If somebody wants to tell you that you have to have baptism for salvation, we have to go to war against that. You understand what I'm saying? Not taking up arms, but I'm just saying, hey, no, time out. There's a conflict here. The conflict is that's not what the Bible says. And that's exactly the conflict that Jesus Christ is dealing with the Pharisees when he's like, hey, that's not what the Word of God says. And if I could bring it down on our level today, it's like Jesus Christ is bringing the Bible back to the people. He's bringing the Bible back to the common people. And if we were once again to look at the Beatitudes, we would find that they would be opposed. All of this Beatitude preaching is opposed to the philosophy and the teaching of the Pharisees. And we'll see some of that as we go through the Gospels. I mean, you can't help but as you're reading through your Bible, you're in your Bible reading, and there's another Pharisee who wants to... I always think it's funny now that I've read through the Bible as many times as I have, and thinking that the Pharisees are going to trip up the Son of God. You know, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? And I'm telling you, the Lord is awesome. Amen. Well, bring me the coin. Well, whose image is on it? Caesar. Okay. Well, then render under Caesar those things that are Caesar's, and render unto God those things that are God. Blew their mind. And I remember preaching through the book of Mark, and there was three distinct things. They just rapid fire came at him. Rapid fire came at him. Rapid fire came at him. And after those three things that they thought they could trip him on, and he rips their face off with the Word of God, the Bible says something like, they quit asking him questions. You know why? Because that if you have the attitude that I want to learn, then you have the attitude to be taught. But if you have the attitude that I'm just trying to trip the preacher up, or I'm just trying to get under his skin, then you got the wrong attitude. And that's exactly what Jesus understood with the Pharisees. The Pharisees at this time, let's be reminded now, Jesus is rallying the troops. I know that I'm using that analogy. He's rallying the troops for conflict. And brother, they're going to have conflict. Why do you think Jesus said in the Beatitudes, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad when they persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely"? You're going to be blessed if you just do what's right, even though people will say things about you. And the Pharisees, I think we all understand this, but anyhow, I got to preach. They're the influence of the society. They are the major influence of the religious society of this day. And Jesus goes on to attack them because he knows what they're going to accuse him of. He already knows it. That's why he comes right out in his public ministry and says this: "Don't think I'm come to destroy the law. And don't think I'm come to destroy the prophets. I'm not come to destroy the prophets. I'm not come to destroy the law. I'm come to fulfill the prophets, what they said. And I'm come to fulfill the law and what it says." And Jesus fulfilled every part of the law. Amen. Whether it's the ceremonial law or whether it's the moral law, you go to the Ten Commandments, everything that Moses taught us. By the way, that's where we're reading right now, reading through the book of Exodus. And Moses, man, Moses should have carried a stick and hit people with it. I mean, it's hard to believe when you read Moses, when you read through Exodus, and God's done some great miracle right then, and then the next verse, they're murmuring and complaining about something. Right? I mean, and it's like one verse to the next, you're going, "Woo! What is that all about?" And Jesus understands this: they're going to attack me. And here's what they're going to say: "Well, he's just come to destroy the law." They would say things like this about Jesus: "Well, he's bringing the devil out of people, but it's because the devil is in him." I'm telling you, that's about the most blasphemous thing you could say. Amen. And Jesus goes on to say, and they're attacking him. And he has to say things like, "Well, you can't, a house divided against itself cannot stand." And so while they are the influence, Jesus goes on the attack because he knows what they're going to accuse him of. They will accuse him very clearly of trying to destroy the law, and rather he came to fulfill the law. So let me give you a couple of things here. Look at verse number 17, because that's the accusation that's going to be brought against him. And again, I'm going to read it. "Think not, don't ever think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." So the accusation that's going to come very quickly when Jesus begins to go out into public ministry, and really, it's kind of been private so far, but he's going to go into the public. Listen, when you feed 5,000 people, that's public. That's 5,000 men. When you feed 2,000 people, or 10,000, or 20,000, or 25,000 people, I mean, everybody's like, "Well, how many people?" And it says, "Well, there were men, there were 4,000, 5,000. Well, 4,000 men, if they got them a wife, that's 8,000. If they got 2.3 children, then that's another, you know, whatever it is." I always wonder where they did that. I've never seen a 0.3 child. I'm only, you know what I'm saying? And so he goes into this public ministry, and they're going to accuse him of trying to destroy the law. By the way, Jesus' authority didn't come from the recognized leaders. Jesus' authority didn't come from the schools or the Pharisees. Jesus' authority came from the Heavenly Father. Amen. Now, just so you'll know that he had the authority, you could go all the way back to when he was 12 years old. And he's sitting in front of these scribes and Pharisees and different religious leaders, and he's in the temple. And the Bible says they were totally confounded by what he had to say. And then we'll read things like, he spake with authority, Amen. Not as the scribes and the Pharisees. Here, listen to me. He is God. Amen. He is the Son of God. Right. Let me say it like this. Listen to me. He is the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God has authority. Right. And he didn't have to have a religious degree from the school of the Pharisees. He had the highest of all authority. He not only taught with authority, he had authority. That's why he said, I came to do the will of my Father. He also engaged in activity that did not meet with the religious way of the day. Jesus did not care if it was the Sabbath or not when somebody needed to be healed. If he saw somebody in need and he had the ability to do it, which he did, and the Pharisees were like, now listen, if you're going to do this stuff, you can't do it on the Sabbath day. And Jesus would say, hold out your hand. Like he did, hold out your hand. And then he would heal the man and they would go, hey, you cannot do, did you not hear us? We said you can't do that. Jesus said, I came to do the will of my Father. Amen. Do you understand? That's attack on the Pharisees. That's attack on their how many traditions that they had. Heal people on the Sabbath day, paying no attention to the traditions of the Pharisees. By the way, that they had made equal with the Word of God. Yeah. Now you can go to religious ceremonies today. There's no authority in that. It's not the Word of God. You can't baptize a baby when he's 8 days old and call that salvation. Oh my, our Baptist forefathers, what they went through just for that one word, baptism. Thousands and thousands of Waldesians and Paulicians and Anabaptists were killed because they did not believe in religion. They believed in the Word of God. In fact, when Jesus came and began to heal the sick and preach the way of salvation, he became a threat to the mainstream religion. His associations with publicans and the outcast of the day, as he became the friends of sinners, they could not take that. That was not the religious norm. In fact, when he began to preach like the Sermon on the Mount, it became very apparent he's not going in the same direction as the Pharisees. In verse 17, look at this. He said, think not that I am come. Well, let me just deal with that little statement. I have come. I am here. I'm going to tell you the truth. You want to be blessed? You don't live your life by pride. You live your life by humility. You want to be blessed? Hunger and thirst after that which is righteous. You want to be blessed? Be a peacemaker. Bring those people to the Lord. Don't worry about being reviled against. Don't worry about when people say all kinds of manner against you. Don't worry about it. You're going to be blessed if you're merciful. You're going to be blessed if your heart is pure. You're going to be blessed if you mourn over your sin. You're going to be blessed if you're meek. And you know what? Can I tell you? Jesus is exactly correct. Amen. And they're not, and when Jesus said, I'm come, and you're going to hear what you're going to hear what I'm saying, and it's going to be totally different than what the Pharisees are saying. They're not teaching the way of freedom, they're teaching the way of burdens. They're not teaching the way to heaven. In fact, the type of righteousness that they are preaching and teaching will not even get you into heaven. Because basically, could I say it like this? The Pharisees basically were a works for salvation. The Pharisees has added so many rules and regulations to the law that many people were actually confused about what they were supposed to do. But you see, if you have a written word, here's a thus saith the Lord. They gave traditions and man-made rules the same weight as the law and the commandments of God. They observed the law in a cold and heartless fashion, and Jesus said, but I say unto you. And he's going to cause the Pharisees, listen to this, to be very uncomfortable. So much to the point that after about 3 years of it, they're looking for ways to kill him. Because when it comes down to it, you find out the Pharisees weren't about trying to get the truth out. They were worrying about keeping their money and their power and their prestige and their standing with the Roman government. We need to be concerned about people's souls and how to live the Christian life. They observe the law in a very cold fashion. That is why the Pharisees will tell people, He came to destroy the law. That's it. Jesus said, he said that's what they're going to say. Jesus ignored the traditions, healed people who had a need, didn't matter what day of the week it was. Do you notice that the Pharisees, they never got mad at Jesus when he healed on Monday. It was only when he healed on the Sabbath. He brought the Bible back to the people and said, if you will follow truth, you can get to heaven. Now, John Wycliffe was not a Baptist, okay? I want to make that very clear. But he was a man in the 1300s who was called the Morning Star of the Reformation. We've been teaching this in Bible Institute lately. But here's one thing about John Wycliffe and why he was called the Morning Star of the Reformation. In the 1300s, he realized this. If they're going to break the power of Rome and Rome's religion, the only way to do that would make available every man a copy of the Word of God in the English language. And that was the Morning Star. And he didn't even have the right kind of he didn't even have the right manuscript, but he understood that if we're going to get the grip of Rome off of the people, then the people need to know what the Bible says. You know what I'm saying is this: the Pharisees were exactly like that. They just said to the people, "We'll tell you what you need to hear." And here's the traditions that you need to understand are more important than the Word of God. Jesus said, "No, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law." And you know what Jesus did? He gave people answers. He gave them answers. Look at verse 18. "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Jesus will not destroy the law. He's going to fulfill the law. In John chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus said it like this: "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that you might have life." Jesus said, "I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Therefore, the answer is in Jesus. He will fulfill the Scripture. And that is what is meant here by the law and the prophets. When he said, "I'll fulfill the law and the prophets," what he's saying is, "I will fulfill the Scriptures because I am." Amen. The Scriptures. Amen. He fulfilled the moral law. He is sinless. He fulfilled the civil law. He is perfect. He even fulfills the meaning of the ceremonial law as the Lamb of God and the High Priest. He filled the law in His birth because He was made under the law. He always did what His Father commanded. That is why He did not fulfill the traditions of religion, because that is not what God commands. God doesn't command you to keep tradition. "Well, preacher, we have some traditions in our home." I'm not talking about that. We have traditions in our home too. But we're talking about how the way of salvation is not by traditions. By His death and resurrection, He bore the curse of the law. He did not destroy the law by fighting against it. He destroyed it by not being equal with the traditions. So traditions are not the same as what God's Word says. Amen. Let me give you an illustration. If you have an acorn, because some people don't understand what I said when I said an acorn. A-C-O-R-N. Now where I come from, that's an acorn. Did he say he had 5 acorn? No, acorn. Acorn, all right. You can destroy an acorn two ways. You can smash it with a hammer. That's what we did when we were kids. Or you can plant it in the ground. Now, if you plant it in the ground, guess what? It'll die. But it will fulfill itself by becoming a mighty oak tree. Yes, sir. That's what Jesus did. Yeah. That's the answer. He died and rose again. And you know what happened when Jesus did that? He killed their tradition. And they hated that. Yes, sir. So in verse 19 and 20, he says it like this: "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of God. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is about to do something that's going to enlarge the commandments. Here's, what do you mean by that? He's going to make a higher standard. His standards are higher. What do you mean by that? Well, in verse 21, he's going to say, well, you know, you've heard that those in the old time said, thou shalt not kill. And that's true. But I'll tell you, whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you, and here's a higher standard, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. All right? That's a higher standard. He gave another standard in verse 27. He said, well, you know, you've heard that it's, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committeth adultery with her already in his heart. That's a higher standard. In verse number 33, he said, but I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Again, I'm just saying, I'm going to up the ante. In verse 43, he said, you've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, this is a higher standard. Love your enemies. Whoa. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That's a higher standard. He's teaching his disciples and preparing them for a battle. By the way, just so you'll know, it's a lifetime. It's not a 3-year, 4-year, World War II, World War I, whatever battle. It's a lifetime battle. It is an everyday conflict for God's people, because in a battle, there's always a conflict or an opposition. His attack was on the way that Pharisees, listen, this is it, and I'm almost done. His attack was on the way that the Pharisees taught for salvation. That's our battle today. Amen. We're not Calvinists. Amen. We're not Reformed theology. That's not the way of salvation. Amen. I mean, today the fight is about the Bible. I know that I have a Bible. I don't understand what people don't understand about when I say I have the Word of God, and I understand I have the Word of God. And that the Authorized King James Version is the only Bible for the English-speaking people. You say, well, what about Spanish? I'm not preaching to Spanish. I'm preaching to the English people. That's a whole different issue. But I do not believe that the ESV, the NIV, the DDJ, and the whatever it is over in Russia. KGB? Yeah, that's it. I'm not preaching for the KGB. I'm preaching from the KJV. And here's the thing. Listen to me. You got to get this. The Pharisees were self-righteous. And they were all about the external. What kind of righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees? Verse 3, verse 4. Everybody got it now? Yeah. Don't make me preach 8 messages right now. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. A poor in spirit righteousness where a person comes to God bankrupt and is broken in his spirit, a righteousness that is aware of their sin and produces repentance and meekness, gives themselves over to hungering and thirsting after that which is right, producing a purity of heart and causing mercy that wants others to have God's peace and even willing to suffer when people revile you. That exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees. Amen. And here's the conclusion. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you will not see heaven. The world and religious activity all around us will accuse us of a lot of things, just like Jesus. But the Bible is still the answer. Amen. The Word of God is still the answer. And we must attack with truth. Attack with truth. And so when somebody comes up to us and says, "Now where does it say in the Bible over there?" And then they say something that Benjamin Franklin said in 1723. Sorry, Bubba, that wasn't the Bible. That was Benjamin Franklin in poor Richard's almanac. But that's the way people are. Here's what God's people need to be versus Beatitude Christians. They need to be able to say, "Well, here's what the Word of God says." And so whenever they say something else, "Well, here's what the Word of God says." I had a guy tell me, "I'm sick and tired of telling me what the Word of God says. I want to tell you what you think." And I'll say, "Well, here's what the Bible says." Amen. That's right. And that's what Jesus did to the Pharisees. Amen. And they hated Him. Well, it's kind of like this. "Well, preacher, I just want to be accepted by society." Then you're not going to be able to be a disciple. Because the culture is not going to accept Beatitude Christianity. But it's okay. It's all right. Quit trying to be accepted by the culture. Be more concerned about being accepted by the Lord. And don't die and go to hell because you want to be accepted by the culture. Because except your righteousness exceed the self-righteousness of the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed. I guess the Christian life is just opposed to the culture, preacher. I guess so. But it's the best life. You know why it's the best life? Because it's the blessed life. It is the blessed life. If you're not saved, it's the blessed life. If you're a nominal Christian, you're going to be miserable. You'll be a miserable child of God. You need to come to the Lord and live out the Beatitudes so that you can be the salt and the light in the society in which we live. Thank you, Lord, for the truth contained in the Word of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. John Mark's going to lead us in 507. "Take My Life and Let It Be." First of all, for those who need to be saved. Second of all, as a challenge for God's people to live the discipleship, beatitude, life as a child of God. Brother Brian Mills is going to lead us. My bad. All right, go ahead, Brother Brian.
"Take my life and let it be consecrated more to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Always only for my King."
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Brian, if you'll sing through a couple more.
"Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise.